All right. Well, good morning again, everybody. All right. You ready for the Bible today? You ready for the Word? Good. Well, why don't you go ahead and welcome our campuses right now, Rockford, Geneseo, everyone watching on the internet. Say good morning, everybody. God bless you guys. We love you all so much. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 16. We're going to get there in just a moment. I want to talk to you about our series that we're starting today. It's entitled Vintage. Vintage. The Lord began speaking to me about this series a few months back, began to prepare different weeks for you. And the idea of vintage, you know, you see people nowadays, they start taking furniture that's vintage and they start putting it in their living room now, and everyone thinks it's this cool kind of contemporary thing to take these older pieces of furniture and to put them in the front room of their house. You know, I was doing some research this week on the word vintage, and actually it's different from an antique. An antique, I believe, has to be 100 years old or plus in order for something to be an antique. So there you go. If some of you feel like an antique right now, well, you're not. Not unless you're over 100 years old. You're not an antique. You can be vintage, but you're not an antique, okay? But just because something's old doesn't make it vintage. Vintage actually speaks of something. It speaks of the craftsmanship of something. It speaks of its excellence and its enduring appeal. If there's a quality about vintage furniture or vintage cars, there's something that's memorable about it, something that's worthy to be used or looked at again. There's a value that just continues to maintain itself within inside of this. You know, and so in thinking about the household of God, that's what the Lord was speaking to me about, is His house and what's involved in the house of God, what should be in the living room of our home and in our family room and the things that we should have on display. You know, it's just kind of like some of these pieces of furniture that over the years have been forgotten, and they found their way into grandma's basement or into grandpa's attic or out in the barn. Anyone watch like American Pickers? Anybody ever watch those shows where they find stuff and they're like, I can get $200 for that? You're like, seriously? Like, that is a miracle in itself. But, you know, they have the ability to see things and to know what's quality and what's, you know, what people are going to be attracted to. And it's just been hiding in the basement, or it's been hiding out in the barn somewhere. You know, there's things like this in the house of God, things that are timeless, beliefs and practices and parts of who we are as the household of God that will never change. They never lose their value. And it's important that if somehow they've found their way into the basement of your life, or maybe in your church if you're watching right now on TV, and they've not been a priority, it's time to bring them out of the basement, out of the attic, and make them the forefront, to bring them back to a place where people can enjoy them and view them. And so today, I want to talk to you about the idea of evangelism. Evangelism. You know, for many of us, it's a foreign experience for us. We've never shared our faith with somebody else. For some of us, we share our faith all the time. There are other people that say in their mind, I used to share my faith when I was first saved. And these are ideas today that we're all going to bring together. And we say, you know what? Sharing our faith and telling other people about Jesus is beautiful. It's something that should be in the forefront of who we are as believers. It's something that should be a priority of every single church, not just a seasonal thing, not something done out of guilt or something that we're pressured to do. It's a natural experience. It's something that we should do because we love people and because we've fallen in love with the Lord. Amen? It's not guilt-driven. It's not high pressure. It's sharing. It's nothing you have to be scared about. Now, sometimes we as churches fall into the ditch of doing all these big events where that's all of our evangelism. But I'm not just talking about church, large church evangelism. I'm talking about personal evangelism where people are meeting people. People are sharing their love for the Lord with other people face to face. These are vintage quality parts of who the body of Christ is. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's what we do. You're here today because someone told you about Jesus. Amen? That's the way the kingdom works. And if it becomes just a thing we used to do, if it becomes something that we used to practice, if it becomes something that we just did when we first got saved, I hate the idea when people say that that Christians in your first 6 months of Christianity, that's when people tell the most people about Christ. That's when they're the most excited about Jesus. And in the first 6 months of their Christianity, they're going to tell more people about Jesus than they'll ever say again. You know what I say to that? And you can write that down. It begins with a and ends with a. Okay? Seriously, that's like saying that marriage, that the best part of marriage is your first couple years of marriage. My friends, marriage should get better year after year after year. Amen? I remember my first year of marriage, Marie and I were youth pastors in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and this guy came up to us in the church, and he said, "How are you liking marriage?" And I said, "Oh, it's great. It's awesome. I highly recommend it. It's really awesome." You know, and this guy was like, "Oh, that'll change." Well, thank you very much, Mr. Grumpy Pants. But you know what? I'm not receiving your prophecy. I want to have a great marriage, and it should get better every single year, because every year you get to know each other better. Every year you have more memories together. Every year you have more to say. Every year you have more that you want to accomplish because you're dreaming together. You know, it's the same thing with Jesus. I should not be the most excited about Jesus just in the first 6 months of my Christianity, because every year I spend with Jesus, I fall in love with him more. He seems to interrupt my life in a positive way and fix things that were broken. I have more things to praise him about. I've experienced personally year after year him give me breakthrough financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally. I have eternal life. I should be more excited about Jesus after 50 years, after 60 years, than I was in the first 6 months of my salvation. Can you give the Lord praise for that? Amen. Amen. If we begin to become distant from Jesus and not have much to brag about, it's because we haven't spent any time with him. Amen. The more time you spend with God, the more you have to brag on about him. That's why we're excited about him. And the same thing with marriage. And that's why I personally believe those of you that have been married 30, 40, 50 years, you should be the most excited about marriage. I want to start seeing grandma and grandpa chasing each other around the church trying to kiss each other. We're sitting there saying, "Get a room, grandpa." We should be doing that kind of stuff. Amen. Absolutely, because we fall in love with each other. We fall in love with the Lord. That's the way God set this thing up. That's the way it's supposed to work. Amen. I want to talk to you about evangelism, though. It doesn't have to be creepy. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be scary. It's just sharing. It's just paying attention to what's going on in another human being's life and us believing that God can make a difference in their life. If we don't believe it, we're not going to share it. But if we believe it, then why wouldn't we share it? Amen? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. You should be there by now. Jesus speaking. This is what he says. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel." The gospel is good news. Do you understand? That's all we're talking about, is going into somebody's life when they're having trouble or when they're maybe unaware that they could have good news, and you're sharing good news with them. Why are we afraid to tell somebody good news? You know, the news media, Fox, CNN, all the others, they're not afraid to wake you up in the morning and tell you bad news. All I'm doing is interrupting your day to have something good to say. That when you're going through that crisis, guess what? God can get involved and turn it around. When you think it's hopeless, there's still hope. When you're afraid of death and what's on the other side, you don't have to be afraid of what's on the other side. When you've lost in this life, you know what? God can come in and help you win and overcome. All I'm here is to tell you good news. I'm not here interrupting you with bad news. I think we have this thing flipped around. We think we're there to tell people bad news. We're the ones telling the good news, which is the word gospel. Amen? And we speak it to all creation. He who believes and has been baptized will be saved. He who's disbelieved shall be condemned. The Bible says they're actually condemned already. We're trying to pull them out of condemnation. People think God is trying to condemn people. God is trying to take condemned people and bring them out of that into a place of freedom, to bring them out of condemnation. Amen? There is an assignment. That's our assignment. Jesus speaking, everybody. Now, I know sometimes in church, we can hear messages a lot, maybe in the culture of America today. A lot of it is self-help. A lot of it is getting people through the next tough time, getting people over the next mountain, helping them stay, keep their lives put together. But if we don't take some of these pieces of furniture and bring it back to the forefront of Christianity out of our lives and realize, guys, if we don't tell the next generation about Jesus, there won't be another generation. You know, if we don't tell people about Jesus, they're not going to come to Christ, and they will go to hell. These are realities. These are things that no matter how much we want to preach feel-good messages, you know what's going to make people feel real good? Coming to Christ. Absolutely. Amen. And God has given us this assignment. this responsibility. I don't know why God set it up this way. You can say, well, why would God set it up that way? Why doesn't God just send angels? Or why doesn't God just do it himself? But God, in his divine wisdom, put the responsibility of rescuing humanity. He paid the price, and he put that responsibility on us to go let people know about it. And we have to say yes to our commander-in-chief. That's just the way it is. There isn't a shortcut. There's not a quick fix way. We must tell people about his good news. It's a responsibility. It's an assignment given to us by God himself. You know, the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says it like this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him, talking about Jesus, if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We are incredibly important to this culture. I know that the culture tries to tell us that Christians aren't very important around here and they wish we'd all go away, but they don't understand what the world would be like without the salt and the light in it. They would not want to live in a world without Christianity. I'm just here to tell you that right now. You can look in parts of the world right now that don't have Christianity or are oppressive towards the things of Christ, and nobody wants to live there, okay? Everyone's trying to get out. And it's because no one wants to live in that darkness, in that oppression. You are more important to this world. You have to see that, because if you don't see your value, then you don't share it. Amen? You believe the lie that says the world would be better off without us. We'll just keep our mouth shut. If we keep our mouth shut, the world is lost. If we keep our mouth shut, darkness prevails. But you, my friend, have the power and the ability and the authority and the assignment to go preach the good news, to be the salt and to be the light. That's a huge responsibility, but at the same time, what a privilege. What a privilege that God would entrust us with this message. But here the Bible's very clear. If we don't share it, they won't know. There is no plan B. Does that make sense? There's no plan B, which means if we don't talk to our neighbor or our friend or our family about the good news of Jesus, they can be lost, which is unacceptable. God's will is that nobody perish. Verse 15 goes on to say, how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And so this is a responsibility of church now. For us to send, for us to speak and say, guys, we've got to go. We have to tell. We have to share. We must become intentional about sharing and loving and telling people about Jesus. We are all evangelists. Some people say, well, I don't have the gift of an evangelist. Well, that's fine. Do it anyway. Amen. Amen. That's not an excuse. We all have the assignment. We all have the responsibility. And what we've done is we've made evangelism so spooky and weird and mechanical. We think evangelism is like going through this series of steps or finding this way to manipulate the conversation, to pressure somebody into Jesus. God told us to go and just tell people good news. God told us to go and love people and be an example, to let our light shine before men, that they would see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven. This is not about some manipulation. This is not about some high-pressure thing. This is about if we don't tell them, they'll be lost. But we can tell them, and they can be saved. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers of those who bring good news. Look at your feet. Everybody, look at your feet. The Bible says if you're telling people good news, you've got beautiful feet. You've got incredibly attractive feet. You might say, well, I have Flintstone feet. Doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, those are very, very attractive feet. I think angels are walking around going, look at that person's feet. Look at that. My goodness. They've got some great looking feet. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Speaking about Jesus, but also speaking about us, because we're the body of Christ. Amen? Are you the body of Christ? Yes, you are. The Bible tells us we're the body of Christ, and the Bible tells us to be imitators of Christ. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you didn't really get that one right, so I'm going to tell you that again. The Bible tells us to be imitators of Christ. Thank you very much. It's like you knew it all along. All right. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, the song about Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to see that for a second. Jesus came to seek, which denotes an intentional idea, where Jesus came with a purpose. He came with the idea, I'm going to find people that are lost, and I'm finding them to save them. I'm finding them to rescue them. I'm finding them with the intention of making their life better. That's our heart, right? Our desire is not to preach a message because Pastor Kevin is telling us to go preach, or because we feel guilty if we don't, or because if we get more people saved, we get to go to heaven. The cool part is, I get to tell people about Jesus, not so I can go to heaven, but so that they can go to heaven. Amen? This is not about you trying to get some great standing with God. You have great standing with God because of Jesus, your Lord and Savior. That's why we can stand in the presence of God, not because you've gotten so many people saved or because you've earned some great position. So now the pressure's off. It's not about getting people saved so I can have another notch on my belt and I can be important. You're important because you're in Christ. Amen. Now I can genuinely tell people about Jesus because I believe in what he's doing in my life, and I can tell them he can do the same thing in their life. Amen? But it's about being intentional. Seek. You know, we've always said, you know, I don't know where the modern church talked about seekers as like people coming to church being seekers. We're supposed to be the seekers. They're the lost. We're supposed to find them. Amen? We want them to find us, but we're supposed to find them. Thank God Jesus came to us. And now we represent, we look like him. We must go to them. He came to our world. We need to go into their world. Man, that was a great point. That's a tweet for somebody right now. He came, we're representing him. He came into our world. We need to go into their world. That's what I'm talking to you about. It's not about people just coming to church. You're the church. Let's the church go to them. You're bringing them good news. But we have to have messages, these vintage messages to bring it about, because what happens is, it's not that we don't want to tell people about Jesus, it's that we're busy. Our life is so full, our life is so busy, and so many times we just don't pay attention to the people and the lost that are sitting around us. But yet, like Jesus, may we be seekers of the lost with the intention of bringing them to Christ. It may not happen overnight, it may not be the first time you talk to them, but we continue to try. It's a part of who we are. If a Christian is not trying to reach out to hurting and lost people, then we've lost something on the inside. We must love the lost. Jesus loves the lost. Amen. And so today, maybe it's like, Lord, wake my heart up to feel again. Wake my heart up to notice again. I've realized I'm so busy driving the kids to soccer and to school and to this, that there's lost parents sitting at that soccer game with us. There's people around me all the time that I could be a witness or a light to. I'm not trying to high pressure this thing. I'm just saying, guys, let's just become sensitive to the needs of the people around us. Let's be intentional. This is who the church is. We sit here today because someone preached a message like this to someone that witness to us. And I'm so glad I'm not going to hell today. I'm so glad that I know God today. I'm so glad somebody went out of their way to find me and to tell me this message. I don't resent that person that told me this message. I thank God for that person that told me this message. Amen. Amen. Being intentional. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. This is what I want us to see today as well. Is God's not saying get out there and do this by yourself. Just do it in your own strength. We don't have to do any of this in our own strength. We always do it with God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power. The word power there is the word ability. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Sometimes we think the Holy Spirit's just on us so that we can speak in tongues, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. But in reality, the Holy Spirit, the ability, God is giving me Holy Spirit ability to be his witness. Which means I'm not telling people about him without him backing it up. You think me interrupting someone, me, you know, bringing Jesus up in a conversation, that's so awkward. I'm going to be out there on a limb by myself. You are not out there by yourself. The Holy Spirit, one of the reasons he's here is to be out there on that limb with you, empowering your words, empowering the love that you're sharing to those individuals. You think it's not getting through, but on the inside, their heart is burning on the inside. So glad you're bringing this up, though their face may not show it. But maybe they are. Maybe all of a sudden one solitary tear comes down their face. That's not you making them cry, thank God. You didn't poke them in the eye or, you know, do something. But the Holy Spirit is touching something on the inside. We got to get back into this, that God is doing this with us, man. This isn't just us out there trying to fulfill an obligation. This is a supernatural exchange. This is something dynamic, something spiritual going on here. That God is doing this with us. You will be my witnesses. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you to help you share your faith and be a witness. And you want to know, that's what witnessing is. What's a witness? We say, well, let's go out and go witnessing. What is a witness? A witness is someone that saw something. That's it. And so all Jesus is asking you to do is go tell people what you've seen in your own life. Go tell them what you've experienced. Go tell them what you're a witness of. That's why I think we've lost something with this whole, like, creating mechanisms and plans and ways to manipulate conversations and get people to say this and say this and say that, because that's not my witness. My witness is what God did when he came into my life. Do you understand? My witness is that I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind and now I see. Amen? I'm not talking about somebody else's testimony. I'm talking about mine. that he's made a difference in my life. I was on my way to heaven and now I have relationship with God. God speaks to me throughout the day. God gives me wisdom for my marriage. God gives me wisdom for my raising my kids. God is there to help me when I don't know what to do about finances. God is in my life. I am witnessing. Can I get a witness? What has God done for you? What have you seen? And you just tell people what you've seen. You just tell them what you've seen. Amen. And you help relate that gospel message to their situation. You will be my witnesses. That's all it is. It's just telling them what God's done in the appropriate moment. When God opens up a door, an opportunity where your testimony relates to their situation, you're a witness. Amen. He says this, you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. See, this is why the Holy Spirit, one of the reasons he's with us, starting in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And here's a really great point, which I was grateful God gave me the scripture to tell you today. God isn't looking for eloquence. God isn't looking for you to have this wonderful package sermon in your pocket that you pull out when someone's sitting there next to you in the bleachers or you're out for coffee with a friend and God begins to say, start telling them, you know, how your story relates to their story. It's not like, well, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. No, God is just looking for real. God is looking for raw. God is looking for you. You might fumble your way through telling somebody your testimony or sharing your heart for Christ with somebody, but there's something beautiful about that. There's something special about the fact that this wasn't some prefabricated system. It's just a genuine friend sharing with another person about what God has done in their life. There's a realness to it. Amen? The Bible says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul speaking, he says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. That's what we're all doing here. We're here to preach the good news, but not with clever speech. Not clever speech. For the fear of the cross of Christ would lose its power. You know, sometimes we put so much confidence in our system of telling people about Jesus that the beauty of this, I'm a human being that Jesus found, and the beauty of the cross changing my life, that it's all in the plan. It's all now in the system. It's all now in the prefabricated method rather than just a human being saying with stuttering words and with this real raw expression, just saying, I'm so glad that God's in my life, and maybe I don't know the best way to tell you this, but by believing in Jesus, everything has been made new. Everything is changing, and the beauty of the cross is there because this is something that Jesus did in my life. It's not something that's just, you know, this commercialized thing. It's real, raw people. We don't come with clever speeches. Amen? We don't come with clever speeches. Just us and what the cross of Jesus has done in our lives. So where do we start? I'm glad you asked. Thank you for asking. I think that's really awesome. Appreciate your participation in this morning. Where do we start, Pastor? How do we do this? Are we supposed to go out there? Are we supposed to attack the waitress in the restaurant and tell her about Jesus and tell her if she wants a tip? I'll give you a tip. A tip is you need Jesus. No, that's not. By the way, if you ever leave a track on a restaurant table, there better be a $50 bill inside that track, all right? Absolutely. I'll give you a tip. I'll give you a tip if that's what you're thinking. No. That's all I'm saying. Where do we start? What are you asking us to do? I'm asking you, first of all, to begin to pray. Begin to pray for the lost. Not pray that God sends someone to them. Actually pray for them. Begin to pray that God begins to give you opportunities to help them. Opportunities. That's where we start. You know why? Because I'm not here to kick the door open. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us. Sons and daughters of God, you are led by the Spirit of God. And God is working and moving and leading your steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. I also believe God leads us into the lives of people who need you at the moment that they do need you. And we begin to pray, God, give us opportunities. See, I'm not being driven by guilt. I'm not being driven by fear. I'm just saying, God, I'm open. God, I yield myself, and if you give me the opportunities and you say you're going to empower me to be a witness, I'll do it. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, this is Paul speaking, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Now, if Paul can say, pray for us, that God gives us opportunities to speak about Christ, then I believe prayer can create opportunities for me personally, for you personally, to speak to people about Christ. Paul was saying, guys, before we even go out there, let's pray that God opens the opportunities. It's not just this burden obligation, well, I got to tell 5 people about Jesus today or God's going to be mad at me, but rather begin to pray, God, give us an opportunity. And if you open that door, Holy Spirit, and you're going to empower me to share my testimony, then I thank you that I'll walk through that door. That's all I'm saying. Do you understand this? Do you hear what I'm saying? But most of us, we've never even asked God to give us an opportunity to share. Give us, God, an opportunity to speak. Open a door sometime today. I go to work every week. I go to the school every week. I go to the doctor's office and I'm a nurse there or something. You know, can we take the step of faith? That's all I'm asking you to do right now. Take the step of faith and begin to say, God, give me opportunities to tell people about Jesus. If he gives you the opportunity, man, the Holy Spirit's there. He's moving. He's working. Take it. I remember one time, this is what we have to say. I'm asking God, and this is what I want you to do. Jesus said all the time, Lord, give him eyes to see, ears to hear. There are so many times we've been so conditioned to force opportunities, we miss the God moments. There are God-given moments that all I'm asking you to do is pick the fruit. All I'm asking you to do is take the chance and ask God to give you sensitivity to know when he's working in somebody's life. A few weeks ago, I had the wonderful privilege of this is going to sound funny. I had the wonderful privilege of getting my oil changed. But it was so cool because I was in this place getting the oil changed, and there was a gentleman there, and we just hit off conversation, and the conversation just kept going. It was like, and he was so interesting. I so enjoyed his company, and it wasn't like at the end of it or anything. We had this big like altar call moment or anything like that, but I'm so honored that I was privileged to meet this individual. It's so interesting. But you know, within 30 seconds, I knew that God was doing something in this connection because they were so responsive and desiring more and more conversation. See, God begins to open doors. By the end of the conversation, he was saying that I was allowed, I was, can I pray for you and keep you lifted up in prayer? Absolutely. He was asking me, when's your church? Where does it meet? And I was like, well, you can watch us on TV if you'd like to kind of see if you even like us, you know? And the Lord just did, and it was like, it wasn't this big, high-pressured thing. I'm just saying that God orders your steps. And if you'll just pay attention to the conversation and stop just thinking, I'm so busy right now, I just got to get my oil changed to get out the door, that God is opening an opportunity for you to share and be a witness and a testimony. I remember a lady in our Bible school a couple years ago, she said she was getting a salad at a restaurant. I think it was her husband, and she had like such amount of time, and the lady at the table next to her kept talking to her while she was trying to eat her salad. And she said in the first little bit, it was kind of frustrating. She's kind of like, let me eat my salad, you know, kind of thing. And then after a while, she realized that the Lord was setting something up, that this in particular person, this was a supernatural connection and interest this person had across from her, you know, at the table. And they ended up sitting together at the same table and spoke for, I believe, over an hour. And I believe before the conversation was over, she was able to pray with this individual. I'm not sure if she actually led her to the Lord or not. I don't remember that part of the conversation, but God had a divine appointment. If you just notice, understand, are you understanding what I'm saying? God is orchestrating. God is doing this. The Holy Spirit is with us. I remember one time I was leading a retreat for a bunch of junior high kids. And they were having this awesome move of God. We were at a hotel here in Rockford. And they were having this awesome move of God in the hotel. And I walked out because it was just hot in there. Junior high kids just sweat and it gets hot wherever they are. It's just the way it is. And it was just hot in there. And I walked out and there was this gentleman on the phone next to the room. And man, in my heart, I just kept noticing this guy. And I just was like, man, something's going on. This guy is standing there, and he's been on the phone a long time. And I could see it in his eyes. There was just something different. Actually, Pastor Bev was with me on that retreat, and she looked at me, and she said, that guy is about to get saved. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, go tell him. And so this is why, yeah, go tell him. This is why it's an interesting conversation. This guy was a football player on a college football team, okay? I think it was like Alabama, Arkansas, something like that. And they were in town, passing through town. So he was massive, all right? That's probably why she said, go tell him, right? And he's on the phone. And so I go up to him, and He has the phone on his ears. And again, it's just noticing God moments. That's all I'm saying. And he's on the phone, and I go, can I talk to you for a second? And he's like, he nods, still on the phone. And I was just like, do you need to get your life right with God? And he was just like this, nodding on the phone. I don't think he ever let go of the phone. He's like, yeah. And then I was like, can I pray for you right now to give your heart to the Lord? And he was like, yeah. This is a big football player. It's massive. I was scared, okay? But God was in this. And then for some reason, I do think he had to have hung up the phone because of the next thing I said. I think a boldness came over me. I don't even know why I said this. I was like, you need to get on your knees. And so I make this football player get on his knees in the middle of the hotel. And he did it. He did it. And I put my hand on his shoulder, probably so I could just reach his shoulder. And I began to lead him in a prayer to receive the Lord. And he gave his heart to Jesus. I never saw him again. But all I'm trying to help you see is moments. Opportunity. Pray, God, would you give us, like Paul said, would you give us opportunities to tell people about you? Verse 5 of that Colossians verse says it like this: live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everybody. Living wisely among unbelievers is understanding what's going on in their world. Understanding. Well, not just living wisely, like smart as in a way of like manipulation or smart or how to turn the conversation. I'm not talking about that. But there is a wisdom, and this is something I want to point out before I close today. I'm going to give you an illustration here. God, give us wisdom about unbelievers. I'm going to draw this line here real quick. I have this illustration I want to show you if I can make this work. Okay, stay, don't tip. All right, here's what I want you to see. What I want you to see is that I don't know how to do this. This isn't clicking on. There we go. I got it. There you go. Thank you, guys. Lord, help me to live wisely among the unbeliever. Help me. Sometimes when we have been saved for a long period of time or we've known Jesus for a long period of time, we forget what it's like to not serve Jesus. We forget what's going on in their life. And I believe when the Bible says, let's be wise among non-believers, it's not in this suspicion like to guard ourselves, because this whole passage of Scripture is about reaching non-believers, not protecting yourself from them, but how to be around them. And it even says, let your conversation be filled with grace. Let it be filled with the love of God, the favor, the goodness of God, the gospel. And I'm here to encourage us. Guys, we need to learn some things about speaking to unbelievers. And that is how to relate the message into their world. How to relate the message to where they're coming from. You know, can I give you a sales point, a sales pointer? Yes, I can. Thank you very much. Appreciate the response on that. Okay, if you're in sales, let me say it like this. We have to know how to help people understand why they want the product. Now, I'm not saying this is sales. I don't want to, you know, shrink gospel preaching and telling people about Jesus into a sales thing. But yet, there's still wisdom in telling people about product. We need to learn that there is a wisdom. And I want to not just tell you to tell people about Jesus. I want to teach you something in telling people about Jesus. I want you to get, you know, in a way, better at it. If you're selling insurance, do you know you're not selling insurance? What you're selling is peace of mind. Does that make sense? If you go into it and say, you want insurance? People are like, I don't know. Do I? It's like, do you want peace of mind? Like if something happens to your car or your house or your health, you know it's all taken care of. People are like, yeah. Absolutely. If you're a photographer, you're not selling pictures, you're selling memories. Does that make sense? When you present to people, why do I want more pictures? Because you don't want to miss a moment of your kid's life, do you? Do you? No, I don't. Then of course I want you to be my photographer, right? I mean, think about like health stores. Like who goes up and says, you want some wheatgrass, lemongrass, hogwort, or whatever else is in there that people sell nowadays? St. John's wort. I don't want St. John's wort. I don't care if he was a saint. I don't want his warts. You don't go up and say, you want pills? You want vitamins? You want to drink this kale? No, you don't sell the stuff. You say you want to be healthy. You want to live long. You want to be strong. What are they doing? They're connecting the dots for us. They're helping us see what we didn't see. And see, sometimes that's where we go wrong in witnessing and evangelism. We go up to people and say, you need church. Why? You need Jesus. Why? This guy that died on a cross 2,000 years ago matters to you. Why? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Living wise and helping people have opportunity to receive Christ is not just, we're not just excited about the product or the thing, the gospel itself, but we know that this gospel can change their life. But we have to help them see how it can change their life. If we don't do that, then it's a waste. It's like saying you want a blender? The other day, I somehow got stuck on the Home Shopping Channel. I have no idea how that happened. And I did want this blender, whatever it was. There was a red one and a blue one and a silver one and a black one and a white one and all kinds of stuff. But they didn't say, do you want a blender? They're like, you want guacamole? Yeah. Do you want fresh salsa? Yeah, absolutely. This blender could blend an old shoe and make it amazing. I want that blender. How can I live without that blender? This is ridiculous. Get the phone. But they weren't like, y'all want a blender? You see what I'm saying? And the same thing with telling people about the Lord. You have to help them see where he relates to their life and situation right now. You have to go the extra. It's not it is not just telling people a story. It's connecting their life to the story. Are you understanding? And so on this side, we have self, and on this side, we have Christ. And I want you to see something. There are times in people's lives, this line is always in flux. It's just the way it is. There's times when people are very self-centered and very focused on what's going on in their lives. And then there's times in their life where they're more open to change and possibly receiving Christ as their Savior. This is important for a couple of reasons. One, when people have not experienced a whole lot of change, or they're very happy and content right where they are, there's not a lot going on right now, they're kind of even bored in their situation, they might reject you the first time you tell them about Jesus. But I want you to understand, people's lives are always in flux. Something we can always know about life, it's always changing. And so just because your relative might not have been interested 2 years ago, that doesn't mean they're not interested right now, depending on what's going on in their life. But this is where I'm saying, guys, God, give us eyes to see, to catch the opportunity. Give us ears to hear what's going on in people's lives and how can I help them understand? Because I really do believe it's not about selling Christ. It's not about another notch on the belt. I really believe he is the answer. I really believe he is the solution, that we could have everything in the whole world, but if we don't have Christ, we've still lost it all, because at the end of this life, it's still gone. And so it's about really genuinely caring about people. But people on this line, now this line changes. What changes a person's openness? What changes their desire to kind of hear about Jesus at times? All kinds of things. One of the number one things that happens that people change people, that cause stress or create this opportunity sometimes, or some of the needs that go on in people's lives. Divorce can happen that they didn't see a few years earlier. A death of a loved one can happen. They could, come down with some sickness or something. And all of a sudden, these things, their world is being rocked. Do you understand this? And they're looking for answers and they're looking for help. And I know that Jesus can help. But again, I'm not coming to them saying in the middle of their divorce, in the middle of their sickness, you need church. I'm here saying, you know what? I want to be your friend. I want to help you through this. And then at some point, as God gives you opportunity, we can begin to talk to them that the Lord can give you comfort, even though right now everything looks like it's falling apart. You might be in that house by yourself right now, but you know what? The Lord says that he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, that he'll walk with you through that valley of a shadow of death. You may feel abandoned right now, but you know what? Your Creator and your Heavenly Father, he's been there for me, and I know he'll be there for you. It's not, y'all need church. Do you see the difference? Also, we know that Christ is still the healer. And so though the doctors might have given up on you, I know miracles still happen. And we've seen them happen. And people begin to have a conversation about maybe being open to something they weren't open to before. But we have to be aware. We have to be into this whole thing. Like, we have to see, right? God, give us eyes to see. But it's not always tragedy either. I don't want you to think that the only time people are ever open is when something bad happens to them. Sometimes people are open. They've been happy, selfish, all kinds of stuff going on, and they might have a baby. Some of you have kids right now that aren't serving Jesus, but they've come to you recently, and they're saying, our girlfriend and I, we're pregnant or whatever, and it's amazing how open they start thinking about a child and the responsibility, and they start thinking that life isn't all about me, and they start thinking maybe we need to start changing some things. You understand how this thing works? Sometimes people are getting married, and in that transition, all of a sudden they're open. So there's all kinds of things that go on in people's lives. It's about us being wise. Remember, the Bible says to be wise. About people's openness and where they are on this line towards Christ and how we can help them in their situation. That's why I'm saying you could be at the soccer game with your kids or the basketball game, and you just start listening to things. People move into town for the first time. They're open to change. They just got a new house. They're living in a new environment. Welcome to the neighborhood. Can I show you around? I know some great people. A lot of them go to church with me. Would you like to come? I would love to introduce them to you. It's not y'all need church. But you want friends, you want relationships in the community. I know a great place to make those relationships. Is this making sense to you guys? All right, then clap like it makes sense. Go ahead. Thank you. All right, ushers, would you hand out those cards? I'm going to close. Ushers, if you'll hand out those cards right now. There's these little cards that I want to give to you and tell you a story while they're giving you these cards. These cards say vintage. It says, I am believing that these friends and family members come to know the Lord. You know, one of the first steps in seeing people come to know Jesus is to write their name down that you want them to know Jesus and to begin to pray for them, begin to believe God. Now, God may send you, God may send someone else, but I want you, and you're not going to turn these in, you're writing them down and you're going to put them in your Bible or put them in your car, put them on your mirror in your bathroom, put them on the refrigerator, wherever you go the most. And begin to speak over their lives. Begin to pray, God, set divine appointments for them. Lord, begin to open and soften their heart. Now, we don't control people's emotions. We can't manipulate people's situation. That's not what God wants anyways. He wants genuine life change. But we can begin to pray that the enemy's voice gets silenced in their life. We can begin to pray that the lies they've been believing would fall off of their heart and their mind and believe, God, that truth prevails in their life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We can pray and change things to clear the path for the Holy Spirit to be able to get into their life. I want you to write down the first five names that come to your mind, please. Some of you say, I don't know five unsafe people. And I want you to start making some friends outside the church. I want you to go get involved in a book club. I want you to go get involved in the PTA or O or whatever, PT or anything, PT Cruiser. Just get involved in something, all right? Get yourself out there. Make some friends that don't know Jesus, okay? Sometimes as Christians, again, our lives just start becoming all centered around church and Christ. That's wonderful, but with intentionality, if we don't keep reaching, then they're going to keep being lost. And so I want you to start putting yourselves out there again to make some friends, some non-Christian friends, which may be a whole new adventure for you, but yet it's so wonderful. You know, it's meeting new people, bringing them into your life. It makes our Christianity come alive. It makes us start not being self-centered even in our Christianity. You'll be a better Christian because you have non-Christians in your life. It's just the way it works. Be more sensitive for all kinds of things. Are you understanding this? All right, now I want you to look at the potential in this room right now. There are hundreds of people. I don't even know how many people are in here, probably 300 people or something like that. Five names. Good chance not all of you are writing down the same name of each person. That's 1,500 names represented on these cards. That's amazing how many people that we can reach if we just believe the Lord and begin to pray that God would use this. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to close. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, there's a guy named Philip. Philip was one of the servants who waited on tables put there to help the apostles out because the apostles were busy in the ministry and they say, why should we wait tables and neglect the word? So let's assign seven people to be those that distribute food to the widows and the orphans and to take care of those needs. So Stephen was also one of these servant type people. He was the first martyr in the church, if you don't know who Stephen was. Philip, so why I'm saying this about Philip is Philip was not an apostle. He was nobody, quote unquote, in the ministry or special. He was a normal person that just God began to use in a very powerful and dynamic way. Actually, if you read Acts chapter 8, you're going to find out God used this man to rock whole cities, okay? But he was not an official pastor or apostle. Later, he got the name Philip the Evangelist because this guy was just telling people about Jesus everywhere he went, but he was never the official in crowd of the early church. So it's kind of cool how normal people become extraordinary by just doing what God tells them to do. Okay, so this is who Philip was. Acts chapter 8, Philip, he had just had this wonderful move of God. that happened, and God tells him, wake up in the morning and go to a certain road. So again, this is you being led by the Holy Spirit. Get up, go to this road. God didn't tell him what was going to happen. On this road, there was this Ethiopian treasurer of Queen Candace, not Candace from Phineas and Ferb. This is a different Queen Candace from Ethiopia. And the Lord tells Philip, go join yourself to that caravan. Go join yourself to that caravan. You can look this up later. Very powerful story. And so he did. And that's the piece I want you to see real quick. Is God, and Philip knew God was on the move, and he was going to tell him to tell this Ethiopian treasurer about Jesus. But Philip didn't know how he was going to do it. Philip didn't know when he was going to do it. Philip was listening for the opportunity. So God said, go join yourself to the caravan. And this is what I want you to see. Philip walked for some unknown period of time. Philip walked next to this Ethiopian's caravan or chariot for a period of time. And he was listening to the Ethiopian. He was reading the book of Isaiah. And so Philip knew that was the door right there. And Philip yells up to the chariot and he tells the Ethiopian, he says, do you understand what you're reading? See, the Ethiopian had a question. And sometimes that's where we step in. People have a question. They have a question. I don't know how to raise kids. I'm having problems. And you go, I have an answer. There's wisdom in the Bible that teaches us how to raise children. There are people that I know that are wonderful friends of mine that have great kids, and they could help all of us in helping us raise kids. I've got, you know, people have gone before us that have raised their kids that we could talk to that love the Lord. They have a question. You have the answer. Amen. It's about drawing the line, connecting the dots. You know, someone's life's falling apart financially. They have questions, and you say, I have an answer to your question. See, the Ethiopian had a question about the book of Isaiah. Philip had an answer, and he drew the line. Are you understanding this? Someone has a question about future, eternity, death. I have answers. Someone has fear of what's going on in their life. I have the answer. It's not just you need to go to church, but I can help draw the line with you to connect the dots of how this will help you in your time of need. And so Philip said, I can give you answers about your questions to Isaiah. And so then the Ethiopian says, come up, sit with me in my chariot. That's the same progression that happens in people's lives. When they have a question and you say, I can help, I want to help, they'll invite you into their world. Are you understanding this? And Philip was able to tell him about Jesus, take him through the prophecies, and the Ethiopian stops the chariot and says, can I get saved today? Can I get baptized right now? And Philip says, absolutely. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that? I really hope so, because I want to train you to tell people about Jesus. I don't just want to say, go out there and tell them, because it's important that you know something about them. It's important you care about them. It's important that you listen to their story, that they matter. This is not an agenda. This is why we do the Harvest Fest. This is why we do all this. It's that people might get the answers they're seeking, that people might find the life that they need, that people can have eternal life that they don't have. This is vintage. This isn't going away in the church. It better not go away in the church. This needs to always be in the living room of our life. We are all assigned to be evangelists. We are all commissioned to share the good news and be witnesses. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for Life Church, and I pray for the names that they just wrote down. I agree together with them right now that those individuals come to know Jesus. Some of them may be the grumpiest, angriest, most cantankerous people the world has ever known, and they're going to become the greatest believers the world has ever known. Father, right now we pray you send people into their path. You send, help them to find shows on TV, maybe even our show on television. Who knows? That they stumble across in the midnight hour and you begin to open and soften their heart. Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, to care more about the people that are sitting around us, to care more about our neighbors and our friends and the people we come in contact with. God, that we wouldn't be so busy that we wouldn't pay attention and know when you're working on somebody's life. Help us to seize the moment and the opportunity, not so that we can say, look what I've done, but rather so that those individuals can get the help that they need. Father, right now, we pray you give us a greater love for the lost. You give us a greater love and a greater intuition, intentionality about the people we bump into every single day. We thank you go with us, and we thank you that, God, you bring people into the kingdom and you give us the ability to help do that. What a privilege it is to tell people about Jesus. Amen. Before you go, I want to give people in this room right now or watching on the internet an opportunity to receive the Lord. Today, you heard me talking about this line here, and maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, man, he's reading my mail right now. You would have talked to me 2 years ago. Man, my life was sailing. I was doing awesome. And now this has happened. This has happened. Maybe this is going on. And you know what? Maybe I do need Christ in my life. And maybe that's why God sets you up to bring you here today. I want to give you an opportunity. You know, the Bible does say that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why is that important? It's important because we've all made mistakes. We've all blown it. We've hurt people. We've hurt God. We've done things that are worthy of being punished by death and hell. God is holy, and we have not lived a holy life. But the gift of God is eternal life. See, God isn't wanting to condemn you. God's wanting to take you out of condemnation. He's wanting to give you life. He's wanting to give you grace, forgiveness of sin. The gift of God is eternal life, and that happens through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that anyone who will call on the Lord will be saved, and that's you today. It's that simple. You say, what do you mean call on the Lord? I'm about to lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer, and all it is asking him to be your God, asking him to forgive your sins. You think, how could that matter? Oh, my friend, it does. God takes you at your word, takes you at your confession, and he makes all things new, changes you from the inside out. It can start today if you'll give him that opportunity. So if everyone will bow their heads and close their eyes, I want to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. You say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. Either I've never given my heart to Jesus. I don't remember a time in my life that I've given my heart to Jesus. Or maybe you say there was a time where I did serve the Lord, but I walked away. I became selfish, self-centered, bitter, and I left God. But I'd like to get restored. I would like my life to come back to Christ. I want to give him my life again. I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to bring you out in front of all these people. I want you to stay at your seat, but I want to be able to pray for you. If that's you and you say, Pastor Kevin, I want to get right with God today. Would you pray for me? With every head bowed and eye closed, and you want me to pray for you, would you please just slip up a hand right where you are? And I'd be honored to pray for you today to get you right with Jesus and to get you on the road of victory in your life. Anybody at all today? Say, Pastor Kevin, pray for me. There's a hand right there in the middle. Amen. Anybody else? Pop your hand up right where you are. I'll pray for you right where. There's another hand in the back. Thank you. Anybody else today? Just put your hand up right where you are, and we'll pray for you to get things right with Jesus. Don't leave this place out of relationship with God for any reason. Just slip your hand up right where you are. There's a hand right there. Thank you very much. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? All right, let's pray together. Everybody praying together so they're not praying by themselves. Would you repeat this simple prayer after me? Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know that I've sinned and I walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you celebrate those three? And maybe those watching on the internet as well. Can I get our prayer teams to come forward? We have some wonderful prayer teams that are here today. When we dismiss, they'll be here to pray with you and believe God for your life. Miracles in your marriage, miracles in your finance, health, jobs, whatever you might need. They're here to pray for you. Good, trustworthy people that are well-trained to pray for you. But those of you that raised your hand, the three of you, right behind our video cameras, there's a New Beginnings area. We have some wonderful volunteers there that can give you Bibles and all kinds of resources on your way out. We just want to help you in your walk with Jesus. I just want to remind you that on your way out, right in the middle of the lobby is our marriage conference table. Please come. I really do believe it's going to be impacting. I know it will be. It always is a great time. Please invest in your marriage. Take the time. Derek and Georgina are going to be a tremendous blessing to you. And I really know that's going to be a powerful weekend. So get your registration forms and go out to the lobby and sign up. Can't wait to see you on Friday night. Let me bless you and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, I bless Life Church as they go, whether they're watching on the internet or they're here live. Lord, you have given us an assignment and you've given us your Spirit to accomplish it. Lord, we begin to pray for opportunities. Opportunities even this week to run into people that just need some love. They need some light. They need some truth. And then God, you grant us the wisdom, the words of what to do and how to do it. Lord, we give you all the glory and the praise, and we pray, God, that you would truly transform their life. That's the real privilege, is to watch someone's life be totally changed. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.